Okay, cool. So we're going to go to a clip, if folks don't know, but Malcolm Shabazz was mysteriously killed in Mexico. So we're going to go to a clip, and then we're going to have an interview. Norman, you want to give some background of who's going to be?
We're going to be speaking with Herb Boyd, who is a journalist, educator, author, and activist. He was born in Birmingham, Alabama. He grew up in, he was reared in Detroit, and he currently lives in New York City, and he's the author of many, many books. One of his current books is a compilation of writings about the Manny Mirabal book on El Hajj Malik El Shabazz.
Okay, so we're going to go to, this is actually a clip of Malcolm speaking on about the death of his grandmother, Betty Shabazz, and it was a clip from February 2012. It was, I believe he was at Black and Noble. I'm not sure which city that was, but we're going to go that right now, and we're going to get Herb on the phone, and we'll have that interview.
Your grandmother, Betty Shabazz, was she killed by a grandchild?
Yes.
Who set a fire?
Yes.
What's the truth?
This is actually me. This was me. When I was 12 years old, my mother, she was facing a case against the federal government for allegedly hiring a hitman to assassinate Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. And, you know, it was highly publicized. And me, I was bouncing around from family member, family friend. There was no real consistency or stability in my life at this time. I didn't know where I'd be laying my head from one day to the next. And I was worried about my mom. I was stressed. I was sad. You know, I had an ulcer. And what happened is I began to act out. You know, I began to act out in order to be mischievous because I wanted to be sent to my mom, me not realizing what my mother was going through with this case, and I couldn't be with her. So I began to steal cars. I began to steal money. I used to run away from home, anything for my family to take the position, this boy is out of control, send him back to his mom. This was my logic. And one of the last things that I did, you know, was set a fire. And when I set this fire, it was my intention to be mischievous. It was my intention to be mischievous, but it was not my intent for anyone to get hurt, especially, you know, my grandmother. And, you know, when I set this fire, I believe that my grandmother, she didn't know I set it, and she probably thought that it was an attack against the home. You know, because my family has a history of our homes being firebombed. So, you know, she was a really strong woman. And what she did, you know, which was totally unexpected, is that she actually ran through the fire to try to save me. And, you know, over 80% of, 90% of her body was burned. And about a month later, she passed away. And, you know, when this first happened, you know, I didn't know how to deal with myself or anybody. I was very antisocial. And I just didn't forgive myself. You know, I didn't talk. I was 12. Yeah. So, you know, but yeah, that's basically what happened. And, you know, for anyone to lose a grandmother, yeah, that hurts. But I lost my grandmother due to my own careless and reckless actions. You know, so it's something that I ask for forgiveness for, and I continue to ask for forgiveness for, and I always ask for forgiveness for, you know.
This is Saturday Morning Live. My name is Mally, a.k.a. DocuVixen. That was a clip from Malcolm Shabazz speaking about the death of his grandmother. Norm, we have on the line, you want to intro him a little bit. Can you hear us, Herb?
Herb, can you hear us? Hello.
Hello, Herb.
Mr. Boyd, can you hear us? You're listening to Radio Regent, and we are attempting to get a hold of
Herb, are you there? Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
I can barely hear you, Herb. Can you hear us? You're listening to Saturday Morning Live, and we are attempting to get on the line. Herb Boyd. You are listening to Radio Regent. This is Saturday Morning Live, and we are attempting to get a hold of, we have him on the line, but having a technical challenge, and we are about to get him. It looks like we are going to, listening to Saturday Morning Live. This is Norman Otis Richmond.
And hello?
Hello.
Sorry, hold on a second, okay?
And we're just going to go and switch mics because apparently Herb is having trouble hearing us. So, yeah, I'm just going to switch chairs and hopefully this will work.
You're listening to Saturday Morning Live, Herb Boyd. You're listening to Saturday Morning Live, and Herb, can you hear us? Hello, Herb, can you hear us?
Sure.
Having some technical difficulties, but we're going to proceed. I'm speaking with Herb Boyd, who is a journalist, educator, but we're going to proceed. I'm speaking with Herb Boyd, who is a journalist, educator, author, and activist. And Herb was born in Birmingham, Alabama, raised in Detroit, and he currently lives in Detroit, and he has been, he knew Malcolm X personally. So what is the current situation with, exactly what took place with the death of Malcolm Shabazz?
Well, what we can understand on this end, of course, is a situation, tragedy, that's still under investigation in Mexico City.
Is it Mexico City? Wait, pardon me. Is it Mexico City or Tijuana?
Yeah, well, see, it's so much confusing. The reports that, usually the first reports are pretty garbled and not accurate at all. And it takes them a while before they sort it out. So it's been three different reports.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it Thursday. And one of the things that they first said, he was shot and killed.
Right.
That he was thrown from a roof.
Right.
The most recent one, and probably the most credible one, because the young man was traveling with him. Apparently Malcolm had been out there, had gone out there recently to go to Los Angeles and ended up in Mexico City. And was down there to consult with an activist organization called RUMEC, which is very much involved, it's based in San Jose, California, but they're very much involved with discrimination and in the construction industry for the most part. And he was down there to lend his support, his prestige, the name and symbolism and what have you. And I guess in the evening, went to a club, had a few beers, and later was accosted, attacked by a gang and beaten severely. And en route to the hospital, he expired. That seems to be the most credible story at this point. So all of the first reports in terms of being shot and killed and thrown from a rooftop, apparently that's not true. He was beaten by a gang there, possibly an attempted robbery. And according to one eyewitness, he fought them off, but he was beaten severely and then taken in an ambulance to a hospital where he died. That's where it stands at this point. Mm-hmm.
Did you know Malcolm Shabazz yourself?
Only briefly met him in at one time. You know, we interviewed him at the Amsterdam News. But he was very reticent, you know, you never got that much out of him. And, but he did have an extensive interview. And of course, the last blog he did was a very good one to get an indication. And you can go online and get that, Norman, and get some indication of where his head was and the kind of trauma the thing that bothered him more than anything is the harassment that he's receiving from the law enforcement agencies over the years. You know, because we remember very well the very tragic incident in 1967 when he set a fire outside a room where his grandmother was, Dr. Betty Shabazz, and she was consumed in that fire, and eventually she died with burns over practically her whole body.
That was in 1997?
1997.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he served time for that, and then was in and out of the whole penal institutions. You know, it's kind of interesting, curiously, how it kind of reflects his grandfather's trajectory. Because he, too, went through all those kind of traumatic stages as a young person. Remember, Malcolm X was only 6 years old when his father was killed by the Black Legion in Lansing.
Lansing, Michigan, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Now, Earl Little, Malcolm's father, had three brothers who was also killed by Night Riders in Georgia. And that prompted him to get out of there, and he went to Nebraska, for some time in Canada, as well as then ending up settling in Michigan.
Right.
And then you have, of course, Malcolm. Many of us know that he was assassinated in 1965. So now you have the third generation of a very, very tragic death in the male line of the family. And right now, the family is absolutely devastated. Last I heard, I was in contact with Ilyasa yesterday, after hearing about this thing. And she and the family now, I guess, are on their way to Mexico to identify the body. And the kind of irony of all that is that, you know, we got a book, the diary of Malcolm X, supposed to be scheduled for release on Malcolm's birthday on the 19th. So we have all this stuff again. I mean, Malcolm X stays in the news one way or another, either through his daughters. He left six daughters, and they, particularly Ilyasa and Malak and Atala, they seem to be very much out there in the movement, doing various things productively, progressively. And then you have, of course, there's another cousin that Malcolm Shabazz has, Malik, and also Batia, who is the other. It's three children for that next generation. So, you know, you hope and pray that now Malik himself, you know, the other child, has some problems. But we haven't heard that much about him, I think, at this point. Maybe going through some rumors about drug rehabilitation. I'm not sure what's happening with him. But it seems that this shadow that has fallen over that family so tragically, going all the way back, heaven only knows about what happened with Earl Little's father. If you go back to Malcolm Shabazz's great-great-grandfather, you know, what happened to him? So it seems to be something that's following them, and perhaps to do with their own political awareness and political consciousness, that puts them right out there on the ramparts of struggle for human rights. Because, of course, Earl Little was a member of the Garvey movement, and then Malcolm was in the Nation of Islam, and here Malcolm Shabazz. We don't know nothing about, very little about Malcolm Shabazz's father.
He was supposed to be Malcolm Shabazz's father. According to Wikipedia, which I don't take as absolute truth, but they say his father was an Algerian who his mother met in Paris.
Exactly.
Right.
This is as much as we can get on that. If you go through, there's a couple of other Russell Rickford's book on Betty Shabazz.
Russell Rickford, right? That was I just bought that in California, right?
Oh, great. And then, of course, get Growing Up X by Ilyasa.
Ilyasa, yeah. She came through Toronto and signed that book. And I wanted to say that Maurice Bishop, Malcolm had, the Grenadian connection through his mother.
Sure.
His mother, Louise Langdon Norton, who first came to Halifax, Nova Scotia. Then she came to Montreal, where she met Earl Little at a Marcus Garvey meeting. And the whole Grenadian thing, I mentioned in Grenada because Maurice Bishop's father was killed. Maurice was killed, and his son Vladimir was killed here in Toronto, so that's another ironic situation.
Yes. And you know, you have a situation where, and if you see that kind of, curiously, the kind of what this young Malcolm Shabazz was trying to do with his life, to get back on a straight, narrow path and in a very positive and progressive manner. And certainly that blog that he left, the last blog, indicate that he was moving and he was being embraced by a number of very, very strong and influential people, like Terry Williams, Randy Shorts, of course, early on, David Dinkinson, the late Percy Sutton. All of those people were around him when he was a teenager. And here lately, he seemed to be, his international travels, I was just absolutely stunned to see that he had spent a year in Syria.
He had spent a year, Malcolm Shabazz had spent a year in Syria?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Me either. It was new to me. And also the fact that I knew he had made the Hajj to Mecca. And I knew that he'd gone to Libya with Cynthia McKinney. I met with Muammar Gaddafi. And I knew that he was had put a file for a visa to go to Iran, where he was, before he was scheduled to depart. Supposed to be going on a lecture tour over there, and then he was arrested. Still not clear what that arrest was all about, but he figured it was general harassment coming in. Anybody who makes some kind of efforts to connect with Iran, the government, the State Department, step in right away and say, nah, this is persona non grata.
Right.
But anyway, you know, you have this here kind of replication of Malcolm's life, you know, coming out of the dregs, you know, going through the penitentiary, and then, you know, out of a life of this absolute checkered career of crime and what have you, and then trying to get into a more progressive, you know, line of activism.
Right.
And that was very, 28 years of age, we both try to remember when we were 28 and where consciously we were culturally and politically. But I think he was beginning to see the light in terms of what he could do in a very productive way with his life. And I think he had some help, good guidance, and moving in the right direction. He had gone there to hook up, I mean, out in Mexico. And, of course, it would be the conspiracy theorists that begin to suggest that there'd be an opportunity for all of the State Department and what have you, the law enforcement agencies, CIA, COINTELPRO, to knock him out down there and kind of configure that right into the drug cartel.
I was just getting ready to say that they could
put
that up, be convenient. But we have about 10 minutes left, and I have my co-worker, Molly, she wanted to ask you some questions. Malcolm came to Toronto. I was trying to get some information on him when he came to Toronto. I didn't make it for some reason. But I didn't know he had spent this time in Syria.
I think he was over there studying in Syria, because he was a devout Muslim, an Orthodox Muslim, a Sunni Muslim. And I think that was more or less where he was studying the religion and the language, Arabic language and the Quran and what have you. That's what I was made to understand by some associates of Ilyasa. But anyway, he seemed to be moving in a solid and very, very productive, progressive direction, and nothing at all to do with any life of crime or drugs or what have you. In fact, he went out to Los Angeles to help a friend apparently get a record career, to jumpstart his recording career. And then went off to Mexico City to hook up with some other friends whose organization he wanted to lend his support, his name to. So all of those things are indicative of someone who was certainly a long way from the previous stages of his life, where he was just caught up and ensnared in so much trauma and so much, you know, just what you call you know, the kind of the anti-social stuff that we talk about, you know, the whole life of crime.
Well, let me make a suggestion that, is it possible that we can speak to you again next week at the same time?
Just about have the galleys of the book in my hand, and maybe I can be in a position to send you an electronic version of it so you have something. We can talk about the diary of Malcolm X, okay?
Okay. All right. So thank you for your time, and we apologize for the technical situation, but... Yes, sir. All right. Thank you. All right. We have been speaking with Herb Boyd, and we're going to take a musical break and come back with Amon La.
Mighty, 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 m Marshall Mayer thinking, say the word from sinking, the most high the middle.